You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Israel has now killed thousands of Palestinians, including thousands of children who are trapped in Gaza with no way to leave. Israel is continuing to bomb nearly indiscriminately, with a refugee camp among the most recent places bombed following the October 7th terrorist attack from Hamas in Israel. However, the occupation of Palestine by Israel did not begin this year. I spoke to Dr. Rand Huzzo, Palestinian Kiwi and senior arts lecturer at Massey, about the impact the conflict has had both recently but also for generations. Here is that interview. As a Palestinian Kiwi who focuses a lot on the social justice space, what is your perspective on what is happening to Palestinians at the moment?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say that it's a unique situation, but unfortunately it's not. Palestinians have been fighting for the same rights as their Jewish brothers and sisters for decades now. And, the situation for our Palestinians living in Gaza is really horrendous. They've been living under a brutal blockade imposed by the Israeli government, which has severely restricted people's movements. Students can't get out to take up scholarships or job opportunities outside. People can't get permission to leave Israel to get health care. There's been a severe shortage of water, building supplies, food, medical aid. And this is just before the events of the 7th of October. So even though at the moment we're seeing this horrendous bombing of civilian areas in Gaza, we've got reports of up to 8,400 civilians being killed, about half of them are children. So even despite this horrors of war that we're seeing at the moment, unfortunately, this is something that Palestinians are used to. There's been numerous attacks like this on Gazans in the past by the Israeli military. There's been numerous deaths by the Israeli forces in the West Bank as well. Last year, the year before, the UN report for the month of September, before the 7th of October, listed about 300 Palestinian casualties shot by Israeli forces in Gaza and the West Bank. So this was just for this year alone. So this is an ongoing issue. I mean, the treatment of Palestinians living under the occupation is horrendous, and it's been an ongoing feature of our lives. We only seem to hear about it when horrendous things happen to Israeli civilians. Then suddenly the spotlight again shifts, and we start hearing about the horrible treatment that Palestinians live under. But unfortunately, it's been normalized to such an extent that tourists can go and travel to Israel, that young people can go and participate in a dance festival just kilometers where people are living in a ghetto, in a concentration camp, and not even batter an eyelid, whereas, you know, what we're saying is Palestinians have been living under this horrible, brutal occupation for years now. So it's a horrible situation to try and comment on, because in some sense, this is, unfortunately, it's normal life for Palestinians.
Israel is claiming they're allowing humanitarian aid and giving Palestinians a right to leave for safer spaces. Is this consistent with what we've seen since the Israeli occupation began?
No. So what they have tried to do, and it was outlined in a report that was leaked, was their plan for ethnic cleansing. And they have been very clear in the media. They have been leafleting parts of Gaza, telling Gazan civilians and contacting hospitals and UN missions and schools, and telling the message has been very much that people need to flee to the south, because of this ground invasion that they're putting in. And their plans behind that was actually, it's very clear. It was a plan for ethnic cleansing to push Palestinians from Gaza into the Sinai, into the Egyptian territory, which is, again, illegal under international law. And because of that, they had closed the Eretz crossing and the other, which is the main crossing into Israel, where humanitarian supplies could be let through. They have also restricted humanitarian aid coming in from the Egyptian side. We have Israeli officials saying that they wanted to do that because they're scared that some of those supplies will get through to Hamas. They use this kind of, you know, it's like almost like the civilians can't win. They say we need to bomb this area because Hamas are there, because they're using civilians as shields. We can't let humanitarian aid in because it will be used by Hamas. I mean, or appropriated by Hamas. I mean, there's no evidence for this anyway. The people that are responsible for distribution of food on the ground, people like UN agencies, UNRWA and others, they are, and all the Red Cross, so there's a Red Crescent, they're responsible for the distribution of aid. There's no sense that Hamas controls it at all. Again, it's just an excuse to somehow limit humanitarian aid getting in so that, once again, Israel can get away with war crimes. So, yeah.
Do you think the international community, including Aotearoa New Zealand, is doing enough or could be doing more to condemn Israel for what is ethnic cleansing?
Unfortunately, no. New Zealand is not doing enough. Not only is it very weak in terms of its vocal condemnation, but words are not enough. We don't want just a strong language. The language that the New Zealand government has used previously is that they've been pushing for a pause, a humanitarian pause, and this is a horrible catastrophe, this, using this kind of language. What it suggests to everyone is that, well, we need the bombing to stop so that some aid can get into Gaza so that we can feed, you know, Palestinian children, so then the bomb can resume and Israel can bomb Palestinians who have full bellies rather than empty bellies. This is nonsense, right? But it's not only just we need New Zealand to be very vocal in the condemnation of atrocity crimes and war crimes that Israel is committing. We also need there to be consequences. So I know that, for example, the Pāti Māori have come out and taken a very principled stand and asked that the Israeli ambassador be expelled, and also that we should recall our ambassador. And I think this is exactly the kind of international pressure that we need to put in. Otherwise, if we do not step up as a nation and be consistent with our calls for nations to follow human rights norms and international law, we end up risking being complicit with the Israeli war crimes that are happening at the moment.
Is there still time to condemn Israel and free Palestine with the significant amount of bombing we're seeing right now?
Well, I mean, there's an urgent need for the bombing to stop, and Israel has to be pressured to do that. But that would be just the one first step. The second step would be to force humanitarian aid and the convoys of trucks that are waiting on the border there to be allowed in. The third step would be to ask members of the International Criminal Court, as well as Red Cross and others, investigators, to come on the ground and to investigate claims of war crimes from all parties. With a view that those people that have committed war crimes need to be held accountable. The other major part of this is that we have to push for some kind of movement on ending the occupation. This is at the heart of the conflict. And without pressure on Israel to abide by international law, to return to the lines of 67, to continue with its obligations under Oslo Accords, which meant they should have stopped building settlements, and that refugees, Palestinian refugees, particularly those 70% that are in Gaza, should be able to return to their homes inside Israel. Without movement on these particular issues, there will never be peace. We will just see another, military intervention, more military conflict, more suffering. And it will keep going on and on. So we very much need New Zealand to stand with the international community and put pressure on Israel to stop the occupation. This is the heart of the conflict, and we need movement on that.
And finally, I know you travelled to Palestine in 2004. I'm not sure if you've been more recently than that, but even in 2004, what was your experience of being in the occupied territories?
It's a very traumatic experience. You know, I was there, obviously my family are Palestinian, Christian Orthodox from Old Jerusalem. I was able to visit Old Jerusalem and to visit my church, the Syriac Orthodox Church, the church where we still hold our services in ancient Aramaic, and walk around New Zealand, Old Jerusalem, a city that I feel very connected to. It's a place that I feel comfortable in. where I can walk around and feel a sense of being home. But at the same time, you know, I'm there traveling on New Zealand passport, so that affords me certain privileges that normal Palestinians don't get. You know, I can get through checkpoints, I can, navigate the security checkpoints that Israel erects daily that impedes the movement of Palestinians and their rights. Life goes on, but, it's very evident that, Israel is an apartheid state, as it has been documented now by Amnesty International and numerous other human rights bodies like Human Rights Watch and others. There's a system of roads and privileges for Israeli residents, Jewish residents, and there's a system of roads that are policed by the Israeli military for Palestinians. And if you are someone who has a foreign passport, you can somehow negotiate these restrictions a little bit easier. But I remember the feeling very uncomfortably of being in a car marked with UN plates and being able to get in front of the line, the long line of Palestinian cars that have been held up by the military checkpoint, simply because they're Palestinian, and we were able to get to the front of the line, get through. Why? Because we had foreign passports. So, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. On the one hand, your heart sympathizes and feels for your Palestinian, community that are being policed, that are, whose lives are being interrupted daily by this occupation. And on the other hand, simply because you have a different passport, it gives you certain privileges and ability to cross or move a bit more freely. So it's a horribly traumatic experience, I have to say. And despite all the positivity of connecting with other Palestinians who are working on art projects and education projects, etc., it was still very, very traumatic.
That was Dr. Rand Hazo on the ongoing ethnic cleansing in Palestine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.